Good morning. I'll read scripture reading this morning from Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
You may be seated. A couple of church, just family things this morning. One blessing to point out. We've prayed for Joan Slane. It is so good to see you here, Joan. That's amazing to say God has given you that recovery to be back today. So we praise God for that, church family. I hope you can touch base with Joan and share how you missed her. We've already mentioned we have prayer requests for Lynn Bocath with surgery this week on Wednesday. Please pray that's going to be a lengthy recovery for her. And then just one note in the bulletin, just to let you know what's coming up, in case this is something that you've been considering and praying for. We have a baptismal service scheduled for June 15th, which happens to be Father's Day. I'm looking forward to this. One of our young people has come and expressed desire to be baptized, and so we have that scheduled. If that is something you have been burdened for and know you need to follow in as a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ, would you make contact with me sooner rather than later so we can begin a conversation regarding that? Today is Mother's Day. I started this last year. I know some churches try to give something to every mother. That becomes a lot, and it's bulky. And so what I've done the last couple years is just saying, hey, let's just draw names randomly so I can highlight just a few mothers as a thank you to what God has blessed us with. And so purely random happened this week, and so I have some gift cards for a few mothers. If they could see me afterwards, I want to say I praise God for the work that God's doing in their life and in their family's life. Carrie Pressler, I have a gift card for you, and I thank you for being a faithful mom to Royal. Janice, I did see you today. Yes, Janice, thank you for being a godly mother. And I praise God for how your family is navigating being a first-generation Christian to your kids and wanting the gospel in their life. And I want to say thank you to you. Lynn, by God's grace, you're doing it again for another generation. And so it's an honor to say thank you for what God's doing in your life. And then Donna. Donna, you've cared for so many kids that come through our church, all the way back from our Awana days and our nursery days. And so it is a joy to say thank you for being a godly mother. I could have kept that list going. I praise God for what he's blessed us with. Would you pray with me now? So Father God, we pray now. We thank you for your word. We listened to a lot of different things this week. Other individuals, our own thoughts, what the world had to offer us with their wisdom. And so I thank you in this moment we can open up your word and hear from you. What is wisdom? What is truth? And I pray we appropriately and humbly direct our lives by that. In Jesus' name we pray these things. And God's people say, so you just listen to the phrases read by Larry. The Lord builds the house. Children are an heritage. Blesses the man who fills his quiver with them. That doesn't sound like anything like Romans, right? Like that's way off of what we've been with in Romans. And we are now in Psalms 127, which we're going to take a break from Romans, Lord willing. We'll be back in Romans next week and the weeks going forward. I look back at my 10 years of notes here. I have yet to take a break from Mother's Day and Father's Day and preach on the family in my 10 years here. As I thought of why that was, I think part of the reason why that was is because I started here as a very young young pastor. I'm still a young pastor. Back then I was like a young pastor. I mean, I arrived here with a 6-year-old girl, a 3-year-old boy, and a newborn. And I got up here and I looked at most of you, and you had done far many more years of parenting than I had. And so for better or worse, and I'd probably say for worse, I just felt an aspect of like, how can I get up and say anything about parenting? I've got to actually do this thing for a little bit. 10 years later, I'm not getting up to you saying I'm done parenting or I figured it all out. I am up today saying I've learned some things and realize I need to learn more things. I think I avoided these sermons too because I saw them done rather poorly for years. Where like Mother's Day would run around and you get that sermon of like, oh, mothers, you're sweet and you're special and we love you and you're doing a great job and keep it up. And then 6 weeks later, Father's Day would come up and you get the sermon of 7 things all dads are doing horribly and you better shape up now. And all the dads would be like, whoa. I'm only 10 years into this. I thank God for godly dads and godly moms. And I think there's need for growth in both moms and dads. And then I think a key reason why I kind of just didn't do these sermons yet is because I thank God for the diverse church family we have. I counted this week, only about 1/3 of our membership is actively right now parenting children in their home. Almost 1/3 of our congregation has never parented. That was a surprising number to me. Whether that is the 19, 20-year-old member that we have, or whether that is some of our adults. And so when I give a topic of saying, here, I'm going to discuss the house. I mean, this is Psalms 127. The Lord builds the house. Children are a heritage. This is on the home. There's part of it that I recognize that we have a diverse church body at all stages of life and how God has given your home, shaped it differently than other individuals. I recognize as I get up this morning that some of you, the topic of the home is something that you're looking towards in the future and you are excited what God might do. Some of you, I say the topic of the home and it carries massive amounts of grief and weight and brokenness as you think about it. And yet here we are, Psalms 127. God built the home. Why a whole Sunday on this? Whole Sunday on this because the home is vitally important. As Tim Stepanski prayed correctly, God creates the family before he creates the government, nations, the church. He establishes a home. God then chooses that home, that family unit, and this boggles my mind even as a parent, to entrust that family unit with individuals made in his image who can't care for themselves. And to the family unit then gives them the responsibility to train those individuals in the way they should go. It's through the family unit that God chooses to bring about his payment for sin through the family of Abraham, through the family of David, born of a virgin. It's in the family unit that God chooses to provide a living, walking illustration of Christ's love for his people through the husband's sacrificial love for his wife. And I would say it's the family that we see each generation Satan attack in different ways. Why preach a whole Sunday sermon on the family? Because church, we are a family. And whether your parenting days are long in the past, whether you've never been a parent, you are part of the First Baptist Church family. And you have a role to play today in how we as a church strive to have healthy families. If you're a covenant member, you have covenanted together to encourage, to hold accountable those individuals right now who are trying to chain up children in the way they should go. And how you pray for them, how you encourage them, how you are working to have healthy marriages in this church family. Where you're coming along individuals who aren't even your kids to say, I'm burdened about the gospel in their life. There's an aspect where Psalms 127, yes, it is God builds the house. It is children are a heritage. It's a very family-centric passage. And yet this passage was part of the corporate psalms that Israel would say as they approached Jerusalem and the temple every year for sacrifices. It's a psalm of ascent. So yes, it's about the family, but no matter who you were as a Jew, as you approached worship to God, this is a psalm you would have said and spoken these truths. Why a whole Sunday on the family? Because as I think about First Baptist Church, and I go back with this church now almost, probably more than 20 years now, and I think of the different generations First Baptist Church has produced. I grieve. I grieve at what often has been the lack of fruit in individuals that our church has poured into their lives over 18 years. And I pray God works in the next generation of First Baptist Church, that God would use the next generation to strengthen this church and his church in other places. So Psalms 127. A summary sentence from this psalm that I want to unpack, that I'm hoping I can get you to engage with. I hope I can send you out to kind of think through this one sentence throughout your day and this week. God builds houses through arrows aimed at God's glory. This is my summary of these five verses. God builds houses through arrows aimed at God's glory. So let's just break it down. Our passage uses different pictures to describe, or different words to describe what children are. If you read through the passage, you get verse number 3, behold, children are a heritage. That's the same word used for Israel's inheritance, the land. This is a good thing. Here's God's heritage to you. Here's God's inheritance to you, children. If you keep on going, the next phrase, the fruit of the womb, a reward. So children are not just a heritage, they are a reward. And then you get to an odd one. Children are arrows in the hands of a warrior. And finally, verse number 5, blessed is the man who has a full quiver. And so children are a blessing. Now, I just want to focus on one of them to make my first statement, building off of this sentence. Children are arrows. Now, arrows are weapons. So okay, some of you are exact. Whoa, I said that, and you're like, well, where are we going with this? I mean, there's part of it when I first read this, like, children are arrows, and I'm sitting back and say, what is going on with this? Like, this makes me uncomfortable to call my kids some weapons. I don't think we get around our dining room table because arrows are meant to, like, puncture enemies. And get around our dining room table and like, kids, I'm glad you're arrows. So go out here today and just cause some pain on people. That sounds really violent. I mean, children are arrows. Arrows are something we shoot out, we send out. And in our helicopter parenting culture, that sounds like, whoa, no. Let's keep our kids close and safe. No matter what this picture of arrows communicates, and we're going to try to unpack it, just taking this illustration with our other words of heritage and reward and blessing, Psalms 127 just communicates something that is massively different than what the world wants to tell us about kids today. I would say our world has two opposite extreme views of children. And I think even Christians fall in these categories. The Bible says arrows. I think one of the world's wrong extreme views of children, if we just use illustrations again, would be weights. Burdens. I saw it this week in just a video clip that popped up, and As I was going through Facebook, a little video clip, it showed this young couple just getting married, and they were getting their wedding pictures, and it came up with the words on the screen were plans, marriage, saving, children, retirement. Some of you are like, and then the video kept on going, and it showed pictures of the couple going out and having a great time and going to these fancy restaurants and traveling around the world and celebrating, taking all these pictures, and then the words popped up at the end of the video, alternative, freedom. Do you realize what that just communicated? Instead of you choose the alternative and avoid the children part, then you can go and enjoy life and be free. And that message hasn't been embraced. It is no wonder that in just about every single developed nation, the fertility rate has plummeted well below the sustaining your population levels for the last 50 years. Do you realize our country has not had a fertility rate to sustain our population since 1970? Our culture has been preaching, don't have children. I was communicating to our gospel partner a couple weeks ago in Japan. It has reached dire levels. They know their population cannot continue if they continue to view children the way they do. And I want to be clear here. Please understand me. I'm not bemoaning the couple who desperately prays right now or has prayed saying, God, we'd love if you would give us children and we'd be burdened for this and would you please bless us with a family? And God has not seen fit to say yes to that prayer request. Now, that is not what I'm bemoaning right now. My wife and I we've lived that. What I'm bemoaning, what I'm grieving is that over and over again, our world is telling young people what God says is a blessing you should view as a burden in your life. So avoid it. And just to be blunt, it's just an example of how much that Satan's attacked the home right now in our culture. On one side of the extreme, we have a culture who will fight to allow for homosexual marriage and for them to have children and say this is a good thing. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we'll tell a young man or young woman, why bother getting married? It's unnecessary. And children are a burden. Do you not see how those two don't go together? And I only can wrap my head around it if it is not some force that is against God saying, I want to undermine the very thing that God has created and has put up to build healthy families and to foster God's word going from generation to generation to generation to generation. Children are not weights. They are blessings from God. In fact, if you get to the end of the passage, they are such blessings that verse number 5 concludes, the individual who has a full quiver, let's just keep the arrow picture going, okay? You get all these arrows and you put them in your quiver. If you got a full quiver, you are blessed. Now let me take a time out here. Because I think that phrase, verse number 5, blesses the man who fills his quiver with them, that needs to be defined a little bit. Okay. Full is not quantified in this verse. It does not tell me what full is. Like on Saturday nights, we have pizza night in the Love household. I have kids who will eat 2 pieces of pizza and declare that they are full. They are stuffed. Dad, I could not have another pepperoni if you stuffed in my face. And then I have kids that if I didn't draw the line, they would eat 6 pieces of pizza and declare that they're still starving, Dad. I gotta have more. So when I get to this word full, it's not defined. It doesn't give me a number. So what's full? As I wrestle with it in my own life, there's a pastor I love to listen to and read. His name is Kevin DeYoung. He has way more kids than I do, okay? So his number of full was different, but I was curious to see how he's kind of approached this. And he made this statement that as he thought through this word full, and he says, I hope that God gives you one more children than you think you can handle on your own. So that's full. I know my wife and I, when we got married, we kind of, you know, I grew up with a family of five kids, and she had a group of three kids, and naturally that conversation comes up, like, you know, I mean, God's in control, but what are you kind of thinking number-wise? Because if you say 12, I'm going to get scared, okay? Like, where's the number in here? And we have the conversation, and we kind of come up with a number, and I even remember, and this is no offense to my youngest who's, yep, not here. He's out in Children's Church. I remember being in the hospital room when she was holding our number, child number three, Levi, in the hospital thinking, and she said, we look complete. I feel complete. And in my mind, I said, good, okay, three, we're done. Poof. I am thankful that God gave me one more than I thought I could do on my own. A, because my youngest is such a blessing. And B, because I don't want parenting to be done in Luke Love strength. But I also need to balance this. There is more than just one verse to tell me how many kids I should have. Full. Because there are requirements about the home and it's supposed to be training and loving and discipling and providing for. And I say this because there's been this movement, and some of you have been very close to it, that is simply preached, have more kids and more kids and more kids and more kids, because that's biblical, it's full of blessing. And they gave little thought, maybe even no consideration, about the actual providing for the children, the loving and caring home, because that all takes time, that all takes resource. So when you think about God being a blessing to you and your family, funnel it through what you are called to be as parents, to be loving, to train your children, to provide for them. Children are not weights. They're blessings. Now kids, before you pat yourself on the back and you lean over to mom or dad and you kind of give them a wink and saying, guess what, God's really blessed you with me. Right? I'm hearing what the pastor's saying. I'm glad I'm a blessing for you. In fact, we probably should be getting the gifts today and not you, Mom, because I'm the blessing. Okay, let's just pause. You are a blessing. But you have the potential of being one of the greatest griefs in your parents' lives. Proverbs 10, if you're a fool, you will be grief to your mother. You will cause her to cry more tears than just about anything else. If we just take that image of arrows, children, you have the ability to pierce the very heart of your parents in how you respond. Children are not weights, they're blessings. That's correcting one side of the extreme where they say, this is weights, it's burdens, why bother with this? Go enjoy your life first. Let's just wait a decade before you even think about having kids, and then maybe then let's really limit how many kids you have just to kind of do the kid thing one time. No. They are blessings, and pray that God gives you blessing. I pray our church even considers beyond, God, would you give us children, but consider what does that look like for adoption and foster care, because these are blessings. On the other end of the extreme, we need to correct another view. Children are arrows, not burdens, and children are not trophies. See, the opposite end of the extreme is viewing our children as these trophies that we cherish and we display, and our lives are built around our trophies. The sad reality is these trophies become the central aspect of our life, and they dictate our life, and we're all proud about what our trophies are accomplishing. And the sad reality is that the children don't actually get loved and trained. And if the marriage is still alive when all the trophies leave the house, the marriage quickly falls apart because for the last two decades, it's been about trophies and not about the marriage. I knew I was going to do this several times today. In fact, usually I kind of step away from the pulpit when I kind of just kind of give in my own, like, here's how I've wrestled with this. My wife and I have been intentional with our kids that we communicate from them from day one that they are not our first love and they are not central to our family. My kids' activities do not dictate our calendar. I do not want them to think that they are the chief in the home. In fact, this might sound really uncaring. When my kids were little, I think all kids kind of do this, where they kind of sometimes want to cuddle and so they'll kind of wiggle in. If my wife and I were on the couch, I would not allow any kid to wiggle between me and my wife. Why? Because I want my kids, first of all, to know that I love God more, I love my wife more, and then I love them. I cannot build my life around my love for my kids. A, because it's not truly loving for my kids, because it put them in a position they were never intended by God to be, and it's idolatrous. I love God, I love my wife, and then I thank God I can love my kids. My little cute little two-year-older who had tried to rip my hand away from mom and so she could hold mom's hand, no, sorry. I love my wife more than I love you. Children are arrows. Come back to this image with me. Why are children arrows? Let's just think about this. What does it mean that children are arrows? I asked my kids around the dining room table this week, so why would God's word call you a bunch of arrows? And one of my sons, actually, he wanted his name mentioned on this one because he liked his answer. Logan kind of popped up and said, well, we're arrows, Dad, because we're sharp. No, Logan, that's not why you're called an arrow. But he is sharp. When you think about arrows, okay, so just as you unpack this, the more and more I've thought about this, the more I love this image. Because arrows communicate a purpose, okay? Arrows are meant for something. They are meant to be shot out at a target. In fact, in this passage, you actually see in verse number 5, why this guy is blessed if he has a whole bunch of arrows in his quiver? Because he won't be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies in the gate. They just got a target. The image is, I have a whole bunch of my children and I can put them towards a target that I'll be backed up. I will have care as I do business at the gate with those who are against me. And so when I get to this picture of arrows, it shows that my kids are made for something, for a purpose, to be shot out at a target. And when they're in my hand, because that's what the verse says, arrows in the hand, it speaks of the amazing potential that my arrows have for going out to the target. But I really like the imagery of arrows, not because of what I think about for the kids, but what it teaches me about my own responsibility as a parent. If children are arrows, then parents aim their arrows. My job as a parent is to prepare my arrows and send them out. I was reading Spurgeon this week, and he talked about how my job as a parent is to sharpen my arrows. I make them straight. And then my job is to aim my arrows at the right target. Just to be clear, church, that target is not business success. That target is not athletic achievements. That target is not academic rewards. The target I aim my children for is that they, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, would glorify God for the entirety of their life. That is the target. And you know what? My children know that is where I'm aiming them. They know that is where I'm aiming them because over and over and over again, they have heard me pray that as we've ended the day. And I will pray in different ways for the target that I pray God will send them out to. And they will hear me pray, God, I pray that you would so pour your work of the gospel into their life that my kids will bear gospel fruit for the rest of their life. And the next day we'll get together and we'll pray again in some fashion. That target will begin put into the prayer again that, God, I pray that you would work in my kids' life to cause them to love you more than anything else in their life. And that love for you would dictate how they live their life all the days. My children know what my target is because we communicate as a family what is most important in our kids' lives. And then we prioritize and shape our family after the target. My children know what the target is because I've told them. I sat down with my high school daughter this past year. She began another school year. We were sending her to a new school, something we weren't familiar with, something she wasn't familiar with. And so I took her out with Marsha for ice cream. That gets the kids' attention, okay? And I told her what I hope God would let her life be in 10 years. I painted a picture of her loving God and living for God as how God has gifted her. How she would be prepared for life. How maybe even God would direct her to have her own family in 10 years. And then I was really point blank. That's what I want God to do. And so I will not sacrifice what I hope God will do for temporary things right now. And so if I find that the school, the influences of friends at the school are detrimental to the target, you will stop going to that school. We had a simple conversation again, just like that. My daughter worked her first day last night. Some of you are going to laugh because you've heard me preach for 10 years about certain things I love. She worked her first shift at Jumbo's Frozen Custard last night. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. And as we walked home from her orientation, I again communicated to my daughter, I will not compromise you getting a paycheck for the target that I have for you. Parents, however many children you have and God has given to you, you have been given arrows that need to be trained, arrows that need to be pointed and sharpened with God's word. And arrows that need to be aimed for the glory of God. And I encourage you to push everything away that may push or alter the aim of the arrows that God has blessed you with. Woe to me as a dad if I allow my kids' other interests to push away an aim that when I shoot them out, I have not done everything that I can in my power to aim them out for God's glory. Parents, you have this week aiming work to do. To point them in the right direction, to teach them about the right direction, to pour out your heart before God, that you are pushing your kids as all you can do into an aim of a target to glorify God with their lives. Because when the time comes, and I am dreading the time because I love this stage of life, I have the responsibility to shoot my children out as arrows. And I pray they hit the target of glorifying God. And I right now have a season of life that I will not have in 10 years. To do everything I can to prioritize, disciple, pour in God's word and the gospel to aim for eternal souls for the glory of God. And then the day will come where one by one I will shoot those arrows out. That shooting, though, is not just blind luck. I have massive hope when that day comes. Children are arrows. Parents aim their arrows. And God builds the home. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late for rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives sleep to his beloved. Okay. Stay with me long enough to not like change your alarm clocks to sleep until 9 o'clock now because you just said, well, getting up early is vain. So changing my schedule this week. Very clearly, the first two verses of this psalm open up with this truth foundational to our lives. All my effort is pointless. It's frustration unless God is at work. All the things I could pour into my kids' lives, all the extra parenting books, all the mommy blogs, I don't read those, but my wife could read all the mommy blogs she wants, would be pointless unless God builds the house. And I am saddened to think how often we begin to think that it all relies upon us. And you know what it looks like when we think that it all relies upon us? What verse number 2 references? Anxiety. If it all relies upon us, then I'll never stop. I have to always do more. There's always some more I could say to my kids. There's always more I could learn. I got to have another conversation. I got to anxiously sit around in bed thinking, what about this and what about that? And what if this happens? But if I have a firm reliance that it is God who needs to do a work in my kids' lives, then I can trust him. Now please hear me out here. Trusting God, true trust in God, does not lead to apathy, it leads to action. Please don't read this passage and say, well, okay, God builds the house, so then I'm just going to sit back in my recliner, and if God wants my kids not end up in jail, and if God wants my kids to glorify him, then God's going to do a spiritual Holy Spirit wand over their lives, and poof, they'll be great. I am still called to train my kids. I'm still called to discipline my kids. I'm still called to shape and mold them and speak God's word and sow it into their lives over and over and over again. God's chosen sovereignly to work through the futile efforts of parents to bring about fruit. But in all that effort, is with a firm reliance that I know that if one or four of my arrows hits the target of God's glory, I'm giving all the praise to God because he builds the house. I think Jesus tells us what this looks like. He gives us a parable, not so much just for the phone, but I think application can go here. It can go to every area of our life. It's a simple parable. He talks about a farmer who goes out to sow. And he sows the seed, and then the next verse says, he goes to sleep. And that's it. Like, and then he wakes up the next day, and I love the parable how it references. And there's a harvest there, and he doesn't even know how it happened. Just like, whoa, I have a crop now. No way. You realize that guy does two things. He sows, and he sleeps. I can go to sleep at night because I trust my good God to see fit to do as he sees fit with the sowing that I've done. I don't have to play the what if game, because my God will build the house as he sees fit. Church, I can take this application here in our church. I can take it into your own lives in different situations. If I didn't trust that God builds the church, then we're not ending at 10:30 on Sundays, okay? Because I got to keep on preaching, because I've got to get something done to you. I got to manipulate some response out of this. No, I trust God to do the work. Parents, you have the sober responsibility this week to aim your children. What an amazing, radical, countercultural task we have as parents. In fact, if we want to think about radical, doing something amazing for God, in our culture, getting married, having kids, training those children with God's word, bringing them to church, living out the gospel in your own home, buying them shoes, feeding them healthy meals, and then sending them out for God's glory is pretty radical. Church, a church body that does not approach their gatherings about what they want and their demographics, but actually approaches their gathering about how we can do life together no matter what stage of life you're at, whether a house full of kids running out of a minivan into a church service, or whether you came on your own today, that we would approach a gathering today because we are passionate that the arrows that God has blessed the First Baptist Church family with would be sharpened, would be discipled with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and would be shot out one after another after another, aimed for the target of God's glory against an enemy. I am praying, as a dad, and I am praying as a pastor, as I go through a prayer journal and think through the kid after child that I pray for, that God will so work in the years to come that arrow after arrow that is shot out from First Baptist Church will hit the target of God's glory through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That each one of those arrows sent out from generation to generation will be used by God to hit the target of his glory, that will choose to strengthen this church in the years to come and God's church around the world. What an amazing responsibility. What an amazing privilege to aim arrows and trust God to hit some targets. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray I thank you for the privilege it is to be a parent. And I thank you for the grace in my life, because I am not a perfect parent. And I know every one of us here today that have been parents could say the same thing. And so I pray to you, in our failings, in our feeble efforts, that you would work. Whether that is in some of our youngest arrows that made noise in the sermon or in the nursery, or whether that is in lives of adults that have already been sent out of the home and parents are still praying for that fruit to show up in their life. Would you do a work, God? And would we as a church be faithful in the task that you have given to us within this church body and the arrows that we have still in hand. In Jesus' name we pray these things, and God's people say,